Sweet, sweet sister friend, I am so excited about season 2 of the Laced with Grace Fully Embraced podcast. I'm so excited to dive deeper into our relationship with Christ together, deeper into our love of our bodies and being grateful for the temple that God has given us to care for, to nourish, to exercise, to work out, for worship, and not just weight loss, and to really, really focus and make Him the center and the foundation, the motivation of our fitness journey. Because I truly believe if we make Him the foundation of our fitness journey, it becomes much more doable. It becomes less overwhelming. It becomes much more fulfilling. And I'm excited to grow in this with you. Let's get it. Let's go. Hey, so I'm going to try my best to be clear and to not sound like I am super stuffed up, even though I am super stuffed up and my throat is bothering me and my allergies are haywire right now. So just give me a ton of grace on this today, y'all. Like, I love you so much and I want to make sure that I give a good word to you today because the Lord placed something on my heart, but it may just not sound the prettiest, okay? So just give me some grace there. But how are you? How has your week been? We are, right now when I'm recording this, we are just heading into May and the weather is changing, you know, hence my allergies, but it's changing for good. The sun is out more. It's later at night that we're going inside and getting ready for dinner and getting ready for bed and all the things. And it's just makes my heart so happy because I love the warmth. I love the sun. I don't know about you, but it just gives me so much joy. And if I could live somewhere where it was just like 60s to 80, like all year round, I would be in heaven. Like that would be my little slice of heaven here on earth. But we don't. Unfortunately, I live in Indiana. So anywho, let's just put that negativity on the back burner here. We're going to go to somewhere positive. But today may be a little bit of a gut punch for you. This morning woke up and I had to check myself this morning because I was having some issues with some selfishness and just getting very frustrated and discouraged. And I woke up feeling kind of defeated about my body, not necessarily for aesthetic reasons, but more so like when I work night shift, it really messes up with my system and my digestion. I'm getting off of working my last 2 midnights this last week. And I woke up this morning and just feeling gross, like bloated, heavy, again, not weight wise, but you know what I'm saying? That heavy feeling, not super energetic, just kind of like blah and meh and ugh. And I went right down that spiral of, you know, well, now I have to take care of the new puppy because my husband got us a new puppy and this is not something I asked for. So that's another reason why my heart is a little hardened about that. So I'm a little bit bitter, but I'm like, it just messes with my routine. And I was starting to get selfish. I was like, now I got to get up and take care of this puppy. It doesn't matter how early I get up. My kids are always with me. They never sleep in. They never even sleep past 5:30. Like if I get up at 4, I could get up at 4. I could be more disciplined and make myself get up at 4. But if I do that, then my kids are going to be up with me. Then I'm really not going to get any alone time. There are just moments, like I talk all the time, especially on my social and especially like to my girls in my ministry community, that the kiddos seeing you get up every morning and spending time in the Bible, like a lot of women think that they have to have this very quiet, like mellow time. And if they don't have this long 30 minutes of like just quietness and just peace with Jesus in their Bible, that it doesn't matter and that it doesn't count. That is a bunch of baloney. Like every day at my house is chaos right now. Like everyone's up with me typically, except sometimes my husband's not. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's not. We have a really, really rough time with my kiddos with sleeping, and it's just how our life has been. We have tried sleep training. My oldest son has autism, so he has sensory issues. So he's always got, like, he's struggled since infancy with sleep. Like, I'm talking not the normal infant, you know, struggle with sleep and where they get up and they need to be fed and they need to be rocked back to sleep or they need, you know, need to be nourished or whatever. This is like, I'm talking 4 to 5 hours where he's just awake. He can't calm himself down. He can't just stop being overstimulated. And he would just be awake. And we have been sleep deprived ever since my oldest was born. So sleep is a hard thing for us. So when my husband can get some extra sleep, because he helps me throughout the night, I obviously want to make sure that happens. When I can get some extra sleep, I do, but I also want to make sure that I'm taking, you know, control of my mornings and really diving into myself first thing in the morning, because I know the rest of the day is probably not going to happen because mom life is crazy, right? So sometimes that takes priority. And I've gotten into a really good routine of getting up at 5:30 and making sure I go make my cup of coffee and I get my electrolytes and my water and I sit down with my Bible, and usually my youngest is with me. But now we've added a puppy to the mix. And typically when mom gets up, the youngest gets up no matter what. Like, he could be sleeping with me or not sleeping with me, and he gets up. He knows that mom's up. We have a 2,500 square foot house, and so it's very small. The moment my feet hit the floor, John is up with me. So, fine, whatever. He sees mom getting his Bible. It's a great example. He sees mom moving her body. It's a great example. He gets to see that every day. But then when I'm interrupted 5,000 different times because the puppy needs to be let out and the puppy needs to be fed and John needs juice and John needs breakfast and Dax then gets up and then he needs to get in the shower and then he needs to help brush his teeth. And like, it's just like nothing. I had some selfishness going on this morning, and my mamas will understand this. My mamas that have struggled with this will understand this. Some of you will be like, no, this ain't me. Like, that is super selfish. I can't even believe that she would put her workout in her Bible time before her kids. Like, why is she thinking that's even a possibility? Blah, blah, blah. Listen, I'm just being real with you, okay? I was just frustrated because I'm like, I just want some time for just me. I just need to decompress right now. I just need to spend time with Jesus. I need to pray. I need it to be quiet. I need my cuddly warm blanket, my cup of coffee, and my Bible. And I just want to spend an hour by myself. Like, that's just how I was feeling this morning. And I was struggling with that because then I was like, well, if you were more disciplined, this wouldn't be such a problem because you would be able to get up earlier. And then if you got up earlier, you'd have more time, which you wouldn't feel so rushed and you wouldn't feel like everyone's interrupting you. If you would just do this, if you would just do that, I was like beating myself up. Well, this is your fault. This is your fault that your kids don't sleep well because you didn't sleep train long enough, or you didn't do the right things. You didn't do the right routines. Y'all, kids are kids, no matter what you do with some of them. I have friends that they've got kids that sleep till 8:30 and they've never sleep trained them in their life. They just sleep every day till 8:30. These are young kids. I'm like, where did you grow them? Like, where did they come from? Certainly they did not come through the same womb that mine came from, which obviously they didn't. But still, I'm like, what in the world? Like, what are you feeding these kids? Like, what are you doing? Like, mine are crazy. They don't sleep at night. They do go to bed semi-early, but by the time they go to bed at night, I'm pooped. I'm out. I'm clocked out. I'm done. Like, so I ain't working out. That's just not my life right now. I can't work out at night because then I'll be up longer. I don't know. I have a very weird schedule because I'm up all night on weekends, and then through the week, I'm back to a normal daily, you know, typical human being life of being up throughout the day and going to bed at night. So anyways, this spiral just kept happening. I kept getting frustrated this morning. Things were just not working out right. And it just seems like that's how it's been recently, especially ever since we got this puppy, which I love the puppy. Bo is absolutely adorable. He is so cute. He is so cuddly, but he's naughty. He's a puppy. He is a puppy and he is naughty. He's ornery, gosh darn it. So anywho, I started to get kind of bitter towards my husband, and I was like, you know, he shouldn't have got this puppy. He should be the one taking care of it. And I just got to that place where I'm like, no, cool it, gut check, like, stop, Kels. And I was just beating myself up that I'm struggling with my mornings right now. I was beating myself up and not giving myself grace, not giving my family grace for the fact that this is a season of life that we're in right now, and that's okay. And I don't need to have my mornings be perfect. And if maybe I need to make some adjustments, we're just going to make sure it happens. You know what? One thing that I've realized in this health and fitness journey is you go through seasons. It's up and down, up and down, up and down, where everything seems you get in a routine, you get flowing real well. Like you get like your family on board with the routine. Everyone just kind of knows that's what happens. And then changes happen. Your kids develop into different stages of life. You develop into different stages of life or different seasons of life because of work or because of other things going on in the family or whatever may happen. And so you have to adjust, and it's not always just going to be this constant, you know. Some people can say, yeah, I've got up at 5 a.m. every day for 10 years. That's great. Kudos for you. But that's not your life. You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's not what's working for you, you got to find different ways that it's going to work for you. But one thing I'm going to say is one of the biggest blessings I've found of being disciplined and having the right heart set with coming to my fitness journey with a way of wanting to honor the Lord and a way of wanting to honor my body and take care of myself so I can care for others well, is he always tends to find time for me throughout the day to finish my workout. He always tends to find time for me to sit down and have peace with him in my Bible. Whether it happens at 5 a.m. or whether it happens at 8 p.m. or whether it happens at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, Jesus finds a way. He finds a way to give me that opportunity. It's just whether or not I'm willing to take it or not. It's whether I'm willing or not to put aside the laundry or put aside the dishes in the sink or put aside going for that shopping trip or push aside having plans with a friend. Like, what are your priorities? Is he granting you opportunity in your day? And this is not really where I wanted to go with this, but this is what the Spirit is telling me right now. Are you allowing him to give you those opportunities, and are you taking them? Are there different times in your day where you could go on a walk at lunch, or you could get in the word at lunch and spend time with him in prayer and go through his truths in the word and study the word and get that on your heart and on your mind? Are you taking those opportunities? Because if we will just settle down for a sec, settle our hearts, settle our minds, settle our bodies, and just freaking chill, what are the other times in the day that we can spend time with him, that we can move our bodies and our temples? There's been multiple times where I haven't finished my workouts in the mornings because I struggle with my mornings, obviously, as we're talking about this. And I'll drop my child off at preschool, and then I'll go on a run while I'm waiting for him at preschool. I will make sure that I am dressed appropriately and then grab my stuff for to go on a run. I'll go on a run while he's at preschool. Yeah, it didn't happen at the beginning of the day like I wanted it to, but there was still an opportunity and time. Other people may go to the store, they may go shopping, they may spend time with friends. And I've done those things too. I don't do this all the time, but I take the time and the opportunities that God places before me, and I make it a priority. If it's a priority to you, you'll make it happen. And if it's not, you won't. That is just the hard truth. Some of you will argue with me and say, well, every single day of my day is filled with something. Every single day, all the time. Sister, I want you to really, really hard look at your schedule. What kind of minutes? Look at your screen time. I know that our apps track the amount of time we spend on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook. What do those times say? Do you have 20 minutes? Do you have 30 minutes? Do you have 15 minutes? Do you have 45? Do you have an hour? How much time are you spending on those apps? How much time are you spending on Netflix? And I did have someone else say to me recently too, that, you know, their way of decompressing, my way of de-stressing, my way of therapy, my way of feeling relief is exercise and spending time with the Word and the Lord and in prayer and just sometimes just venting to him. But that's my way. That doesn't mean that's going to be everyone's natural way and what they desire to do, right? Some people, to decompress, to de-stress, they need to get on the couch. They need to watch a couple Netflix shows. Sorry, stuttered really bad right there. Netflix shows. And that's their way of comfort. That's their way of just stress relief. That's their way of decompressing. And that's fine. Some people need to go out with a couple girlfriends at night to have a dinner, maybe have a margarita, maybe have some chips and salsa. And that's their way of decompressing. That's fine. Me personally, that helps me feel my best is when I just go out on the road and I run with the Lord and I talk to him and I sweat and my lungs get tired, my legs get tired. I depend on his strength. I depend on his energy. I depend on his discipline. And I take my weakness and I make it my strengths because he's in it. I take my weaknesses, I lay them down to him, and he's in this with me. So it becomes my strength. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if that makes sense coming out of my mouth, but that's just how I feel when I go out on a run. That's how I feel when I'm lifting weights. It just energizes me. That may not be your energizer, and that's okay. But that doesn't mean you can say later, I just don't have the time. I don't have the energy. I don't have the availability for that. We can't say that because you're feeling your decompressing times or you're like, I'm not going to keep going on this rampage because this is not what I wanted to talk about today. What I really wanted to talk to you about today is coming to the throne of grace. Can we talk about that? Okay, so let's switch gears. I just wanted to leave you with those kind of nuggets there. But the two verses I want you to, concerning my morning and my struggles with mornings and how I was kind of like beating myself up a little bit and like getting in my head a little bit, getting in my feels, feeling like I was a little selfish for feeling those ways. It's okay to have those moments of feeling that way. Just don't let it consume you and don't let it become something that causes you to have bitterness towards your journey and bitterness towards your family or bitterness towards your husband. Like that's when it becomes a sin issue. And that's when it becomes something that we need to give to God. Like it's okay to have moments of feeling this way. It's okay to have struggle in this. Like we are human. Those feelings are legitimate. They are valid. Okay. I'm not minimizing them. I'm just saying, I'm also letting you know that I'm there. I've been there. I'm struggling with it right now. I have for months now. So Romans 5:3-5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. That verse, whew, I need to put that on a sticky note and put it in my gym area, because that is so freaking good. in our struggle, we can still rejoice. In our struggle of body dysmorphia, in our struggle of discipline, in our struggle of motivation, in our struggle of lack of motivation, in our struggle of routine, in our struggle of our eating, in our struggle of, I don't know, just body image issues in general, anything that comes to our fitness, anything that comes to our fitness, we can still rejoice in our journey, because if our focus is on Jesus in our journey, Jesus is joy. Jesus is love. So we can still find joy in it because we have Jesus. We have him that lives inside of us. We have him that's in our heart. We have him as our focus of our journey. So we can still find joy in these struggles. Like this morning, I looked at it as a learning opportunity. I looked at it as a way to, like, okay, Lord, purify my heart. Help me decide, like, what I need to do from here. Help me decide. Give me the discernment. Give me the wisdom. And help me to maybe be a little bit more productive with the time that I do have, so that I have opportunities that's going to allow me to continue my workout later on today, that's going to allow me to not feel this stressed, that's going to allow me to get rid of this anxiety, that's going to allow me to just decompress with you. I know you're going to provide those opportunities. It gave me a chance to, like, first gut check myself and then also realize I still have joy in this because I have Jesus. I don't have to let this struggle overtake my journey. I don't have to let it defeat me. I don't have to let it discourage me. We can do that sometimes though, can't we? We start using that as an excuse then. Well, this is just too hard. I just can't do this. No! No. That's kind of where my head was at this morning. I was like, no, you're going to keep trying to do this. You're going to keep giving yourself grace. It's not going to be perfect. Just like every other mom who struggles with this, every other woman who's got a busy schedule and they wear lots of hats, they all struggle with this too. And do we not realize that the Lord struggles? He has struggled with similar things too. Like, Jesus came down here in human form. He literally has felt everything that we feel. He just didn't act upon those feelings, and he didn't end up going into sin, right? Because he was perfect. He was in the flesh, but he never sinned. He felt everything that we are feeling. He has suffered more than we have ever suffered on that cross. He has suffered on that cross, and he has felt you may think it's so silly and so stupid to think, well, Jesus didn't struggle with being upset with himself or having feelings of selfishness. He didn't struggle with that because he never sinned. Just because he didn't sin, he didn't fall into sin because of that, doesn't mean he didn't feel that sometimes. I guarantee you he had felt at point, you don't think he felt some selfishness when he went to the Lord and he's like, Lord, if there's any other way, take this from me. You don't think there was a little bit of feeling like, man, I'm being selfish right now? Because he knew what impact it was going to be to give himself and have him be crucified on that cross for our sins, for our eternal life, for us to be able to live with him forever. You don't think there was a point where he was like, when he was praying to God, literally, Lord, take this cup from me. Like, I don't know if I can do this. You don't think he was thinking in the back of his mind a little bit, man, this is selfish. Y'all, he has felt every single thing that we have felt. He just hasn't allowed it to make him fall into sin. He never allowed it to make him fall into sin. That's the difference. We are human. He was not, but he was in the flesh form. Okay. All right. So Romans 5, 3-5. I just thought that was beautiful, and how it talks about endurance and how going through the suffering and endurance, that suffering is going to produce the endurance, and the endurance is going to produce character. If we never had struggle and we never had to, you know, work out spiritually. I don't mean work out physically or not. I mean work out spiritually, like get our heart rates, get our bodies to a point of we're having endurance, giving our hearts and our spirits to a way that we're having endurance in this life. If we never had struggle and then we didn't build that endurance, how would we be doing right now? Like, if everything was just easy throughout your entire life and then something really hard happened and you had none of that endurance built up, how do you think that would work out? Do you think that would work out real well? Because I don't think so. Anyways, and then how it produces character in us, like the strengths, the weaknesses, the quirks, the personality, like all these things that we have went through, all these struggles that we went through in our life, they've also produced a character in us. Have you ever thought about that? And then how character produces hope. And when where we have hope, there is not shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit has been given to us. So we start out with struggle, and at the end of it, we have hope. And if we have hope, we do not have shame, which is what I was struggling with this morning. The enemy was trying to attack me with shame and trying to minimize me and trying to make me feel defeated and discouraged. And like, I didn't have the power and I didn't have the strength to continue on these mornings that I'm trying to do my fitness journey in. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm on my fourth round of the 60 Day Grace at Life Challenge. If you have no idea what the 60 Day Grace at Life Challenge is, please go to episode 32 or episode 79, and that will give you all the details. But I'm doing the advanced one. I'm on like day 6 right now. And I had done the base or the original one, the last round, took about a week off, week and a half off. And I decided I was going to do the advanced one, which is fine, right? But I'm kind of a little overwhelmed and I'm like, man, this is hard. Like, I don't remember it being this hard. Like, just a couple of tweaks from the original to the advanced is difficult. So I'm like kind of freaking out a little bit. And I felt like I was having like self-sabotage. Like, oh, you can't do this. Like, this is too hard. Like, your kids are not going to let you do this. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm using all these excuses and all these things get in my head. And then shame started to beat me up. Like, I wasn't good enough and I wasn't able to do this. Oh my word. So don't let the enemy do that to you. Anywho, the second verse I want to share with you is, so now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kisses and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Hebrews 4:16, another verse I'm probably going to put on a sticky note in my gym area. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kisses and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. Listen. This is going to be a gut punch for some of you, and some of you may not like me for this, but I love you, so I'm going to share it anyways. Often, obesity is not a self-control issue, or body image struggles are not a self-control issue, or your lack of discipline is not a self-control issue, or unhealthy habits in your eating is not a self-control issue, but it's a heart issue. Shoot, sis. Our physical struggles that we have in our fitness, whether it be obesity, whether it being too skinny and you're trying to gain muscle and you're struggling with that, whether it be eating disorders, whether it be just unhealthy habits that you've developed, whether it be body dysmorphia, any of those things, is not a self-control issue. A lack of discipline, lack of energy, lack of motivation. It's not a self-control issue. It's a heart issue. The issue of the heart has its roots and an overwhelming sense of lack that silently shouts the lie in our minds that we are worthless. Have you ever told yourself these things? You're worthless when you're struggling with your fitness journey. I want you to ask yourself, have you ever told yourself and you just feel like you're worthless, there's something wrong with you, and then you just feel like you have this like deep demand of it, just do something about it already. Just freaking do something about it already. You can do this. Like, why are you not doing this? And like shame just consumes you and overwhelms you because you could be doing something about it, but you're not. You're obese, so you could be doing something about it, but you're not. Like, you're struggling with being too skinny and you could be doing something about it, but you're not. You're unhealthy because you're not eating enough. You could be doing something about it, but you're not. You're having body dysmorphia. You could be doing something about it, you're not. You have lack of self-discipline. You could be doing something about it, but you're not. All these struggles that we tend to have in our fitness journey, it's not just a physical thing or a self-control thing. It's a heart thing. Our hearts are desperately searching for something that we can do to silence the accusing voice of lack and find healing. That's when we try in our own self. We try in our own efforts. We try in our own motivation. We try in our own energy. We try in our own discipline, in our own flesh, to heal our own hearts. When we try to find healing on our own, we will only be successful for as long as our flesh strength holds out. Your strength is not going to last for forever. That's why depending on Jesus and your fitness journey is so freaking important, because your discipline is not going to stand here forever. It's going to eventually wear out. The battery is going to eventually go dead. Because you're not always going to be motivated. You're not always going to be disciplined. And that's where we need to rely on Jesus. But if we rely on him from the start, we don't have to wait till our batteries are dead. It's just going to keep going because, and I'm not saying don't rest. Please don't. I know some of y'all will take that away of, we need to be rest. We need to be resting spiritually and mentally and physically too. Like, yes, I know that. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about when you are trying to be on routine, when you are trying to be disciplined, when you are trying to follow a program, when you are trying to be more self-conscious of what you're putting into your body, when you're trying to be more wholesome with your eating, when you're trying to make healthy habits occur and you're trying to make this a part of a lifestyle, we can't depend on Jesus at the end. We need to depend on him at the start. Don't depend on him just when your battery is dead. Depend on him when you're full so that it can withstand you throughout. You don't have to wait till your battery's dead. Why are you doing that? That's just like, don't wait until you need an emergency kit. Like, put the Band-Aid on now. Like, and Band-Aid's not exactly a good word because that just sounds like we're just covering like underlying issues up. But you know what I'm saying? Like, Start taking care of yourself now by relying on Jesus and putting him at the center of your fitness journey and looking for his strength and his endurance and his discipline and his self-control from the beginning, so you don't have to wait till you're at the very end and then calling out to him like, please help. Now I really need you. He wants you to need him from the start. He wants you to need him from the beginning. He wants him to need you. Even in our most disciplined self, our most motivated self will never come close to the motivation, discipline, and self-control that Jesus can give us. Never. Like our fleshly motivation, discipline, energy, all of that doesn't even come close to the supply that he has for us. And we sometimes think that we can do it on our own. As you bring your heart to him and you start to lean on him and receive his mercy and you start to depend on him in your fitness journey, sis, he is going to immediately begin to bathe your heart in love and acceptance. There is nothing wrong with you. You are all fair, my love. You are lovable and perfect to me because you are complete in Christ. It is within those small whispers of love from Song of Solomon 4:7, Hebrews 10:14, and Colossians 2:10. Get a pen and paper, write these down. I'm going to say it one more time. There is nothing wrong with you. You are all fair, my love. You are lovable and perfect to me because you are all complete in Christ. It is within those whispers of love from the Song of Solomon 4:7, Hebrews 10:14, and Colossians 2:10 that you will find the beginning of your journey to health. You are not alone in this. You can come to the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace. Not when you're at the end, not when your battery's dead, not when you're defeated and discouraged. Start now. When you're feeling good, when you're feeling motivated, when you're feeling energetic. Because if you're not putting him at the center now, that means you're putting yourself at the center. You're putting fleshly desires at the center. You're putting aesthetics at the center. You're putting other goals and things that are going to eventually dwindle. They're not going to satisfy. They're not going to be everlasting. He is everlasting. He fully satisfies. He is eternal. All these other things are temporary. And what happens is we get drained. Our human flesh gets drained. And there are going to come times where you become discouraged. There are going to become times where it gets hard. You're going to become times where the routine is just not flowing the way it used to flow. There's going to be times in motherhood where your season is not going to look the same as what it did last year. I have a lot of times too where I compare what my body looks like and how I felt 2 years ago compared to now. We're in a completely different place now with our family. My husband started a business of being a franchise owner of a coffee shop. My son is in multiple therapies, my oldest. We're going to be transitioning for them being in full-time school next year. So, and John is finishing up preschool this year. Like, and I started working night shifts. Like, I'm in a completely different place as what I was a couple years ago. I cannot compare my, what is God trying to do through me now? If you're in a completely different spot than you were a couple years ago, I need you to stop looking back and you need to look forward into what he's trying to show you and teach you and grow you in now. Okay. What kind of endurance is he trying to produce in these struggles that you are in right now? Maybe it's not even struggle. Maybe it's just seasons. What kind of endurance is he trying to produce in you right now and reveal to you right now and grow in you right now in this season that you are in? Focus on that. Stop focusing at the past. Stop focusing on past struggles or even past triumphs and comparing yourself to those things. We're working on now and where we're going, not where we've been. Where we've been has grown us into who we are now and has produced that character and produced that hope and helps God completely bathe us in his mercy and his grace, right? Because we have the Holy Spirit within us. But we want to keep growing in that. We don't want to go back. All right. I think that that's going to end today's podcast. I love you so freaking much. As per usual, send this to a girlfriend, send this to a coworker, send this to your sister, send this to another sister in Christ or someone that you think that this would benefit. If you've talked about this with your friends recently or with family and you're like, ooh, we just talked about this. I need to make sure we share this with them today. Remember those two scriptures I share with you too. Romans 5:3-5. I would go study them and like get them on your heart, get them in your head. And then also Hebrews 4:16, okay? And then the other three that I shared with you were Song of Solomon 4:7, Hebrews 10:14, and Colossians 2:10. Immerse yourself in these, sister. Because when we have truth that's constantly flowing through our hearts and flowing through our minds, I'm having trouble with my words today, flowing through our hearts and flowing through our minds, it makes it a lot harder for discouragement, unforgiveness, shame, guilt, all those things that the enemy tries to throw at us in our journey sometimes. And it makes it a lot harder for those negative things to come at us when we're constantly immersing ourselves in truth. I love you so much. Share with me what you learned today. Post it on your stories. Tag me. Let me know. I would love to hear what you learned today, what the Lord spoke to you today. Through my lips and through my lungs and through my voice. It's not just me. This is the Lord. Like, He is leading this podcast, and I am just so blessed to have you here in this space. I love you so much. I'll talk to you later. Let's get it. Let's go.